There's a great hymn in our hymn book, and it's called, "It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus." Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. And that hymn sums up the testimony of anybody who has turned from their sin and who has come to Jesus Christ. It was a happy, happy day, the day I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like everybody in this meeting tonight, I have many regrets of what I have said and what I have done in my life. But there's one thing I've never regretted. I've never regretted coming to Jesus Christ. I've never regretted getting saved. The best day of my life when I came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He washed all away my sins, and He gave me everlasting life. A new life is found down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some tonight in this meeting, and you're fed up with the world, and you're fed up with sin, and where your life has taken you. Would you not come to Jesus Christ? He'd give you a new life. He changed you completely. There are many illustrations of that in the Bible of people who came to Jesus Christ. You can think of Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, the leper who came, who was defiled, who was shut out from his home and from society, and he came pleading to Jesus Christ, "If I will, thou can make me clean." And dear friends, the Lord Jesus cleansed them. The Lord Jesus saved them. And he made home a new man. And that's what we find here in this passage. Jacob was a very cunning, he was a very deceitful man. He was a man who did things to get his own way. He was a man who told lies to get his own way. And you can read about that. How he even bargained with his brother Esau to sell him his birthright just for a pot of porridge. Then how he dressed himself up, his father Isaac could hardly see, and he dressed himself up and put these skins upon his arms, and he went in, and his father said, "Are you Esau?" He says, "I am." You know what he did, friends? He stole the blessing. He stole the blessing the father wanted to give to Esau. He was very cunning. He told lies. But we find here that Jacob found forgiveness and he found mercy down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Because here we have the story of his conversion. He was heading down to Padan-Aram, to the family of his mother, looking for a wife. So you see him leaving home looking for a wife. Friends, little did he know this. Little did he know this. The Lord was looking for him. The Lord was looking for him. He went looking for a wife. You know what he found? He found the Lord. And I don't know your reason tonight for coming to the gospel meeting, for curiosity, whatever it may be. But I trust you'll find the Lord as your Savior. You'll find Him as your Lord and your Savior. We see here in this passage that he lies down to sleep. He's making a journey. He has a dream. He has a dream that's going to change his life forever. Because it was through this dream that he found Christ as his Lord and his Savior. It says in verse 12, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven." Behold, he saw a ladder. Jacob's ladder. And I want us to look at this tonight. In the closing moments of our meeting, I want to look first of all about the interpretation of the ladder. It says, "Behold, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder." And you can imagine this image coming into the mind of this man called Jacob. He lies down to sleep, and God is speaking to him. And he's speaking to him by a dream, and he brings this ladder right up before him. I want to say to you this. This is how God used to speak to people. By visions. By dreams. By symbols. You find that in Hebrews 1 verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now notice what he said. In time past, he used to do it in different ways. Diverse manners means that, many ways. And the God of heaven wanted to bring a message unto Jacob, and he gave him a vision of a ladder. Now the question may arise tonight, why did God show him a ladder? A ladder. He's lying in darkness. He's lying alone, as we see in a moment. And yet God is speaking to this man, and he brings a ladder right before him. We have to be very careful in interpreting things like this. There's a great danger in false interpretations in the Bible. You find that warning by Peter in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking of Paul, speaking of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now he's warning us that there are people, they come to God's word and they give a misinterpretation. Their own destruction. You think of some of the silly interpretations the men had drawn from God's word. Think of the false doctrine of purgatory. You say, where would you ever get purgatory in the Bible? I remember as a young Christian, I wasn't too long saved, and I was in Dublin. And I was doing outreach in Dublin. And I was standing in the middle of the street, and I was giving out these tracts, and I saw this man just coming. I said, that man's coming for me. And this man stood right in front of me in Dublin. And we got talking, because I was giving out a tract, and it was called The Roman Catholic Bible Has the Answer. So he says, let's go through this together. So we were down there from this, and we came to purgatory. And I says, there's no purgatory in the Bible. He says, you're wrong, there is. I says, definitely not. It's heaven, or there's hell. He says, no, there's purgatory in the Bible. And I says, where would you get purgatory in the Bible? And I'm going to read you the verse that he said to me. Matthew 5, verse 26, the Lord Jesus says, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till I have paid the uttermost farthing. Now he's talking there about disagreements between two people. But this man, he misinterpreted this. He said, there's purgatory. It's nothing to do with purgatory. There is no such place, my dear friends. When we come to the Bible about God's eternity, it's either up or down, it is either heaven or else it's hell. And so you can come to the Bible and you can take a verse and you can misinterpret it. And there's one instance you can do. Think of Jehovah's Witnesses with blood transfusions. They say, well, it's wrong. If you have a loved one, maybe your mother, it may be your wife, it may be your son, it may be your daughter, and they're dying, you cannot give them any blood. It's wrong. The Bible forbids it. So you scratch your head and say, well, where would you ever get that in the Bible? So, you think they turn you to Leviticus 26, or Leviticus 7, verse 26, where the Lord says, moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood. Verse 27, whosoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Now, I want to tell you, friends, God is not talking about blood transfusions here. He's talking about food. He's talking about what we eat. And he said, listen, don't be eating blood. Now, would you want to go up there chippy up the street? And he says, what do you want to eat? Do you want a fish supper? Or do you want a bowl of blood? Well, I hope you take the fish supper. Because that's what I would take. We're not to eat blood. But they misinterpret it. That's what people do when they come to the word of the Lord. But we are not left to our own notions concerning this ladder. There's a ladder, and the Bible tells me that there's angels. The angels are going up and down this ladder. And does the Lord Jesus Christ ever speak about such an instance? He does, my friends, in the Bible. In John chapter 1 and verse 51, when he was speaking unto Nathanael, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, listen, upon the Son of Man. And see, here's the picture that was brought before Jacob. It was Christ. The Lord Jesus speaking to Nathanael tells him about this instance. heaven will open. And the angels will come up and down upon the Son of Man. You see, Jacob saw Christ. He's a ladder. As you see, he's a link, my friends, between heaven and earth. A.W. Pink, the great commentator of the Bible, said, the ladder pointed to Christ himself. I want you to think of this. Jacob, he's lying in darkness. He sees Christ. Jacob is in despair. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in his sin. He's in his defilement. He's in his desolation. He's all alone. Ever been alone, friends? Tonight in this meeting, you feel you're lost. You're far away from Christ. That's what Jacob was. And he saw a ladder set up on the earth. Friend, that will remind us here tonight of the Lord Jesus' incarnation. He was set up upon the earth. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 10 about the Lord Jesus. Remember, he is God and came into this world. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. And the world was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, he was set up upon this earth. He came into this world. You think of people, the Bible talks in Matthew 4 verse 16, the people that was set in darkness. Think about people who closed away from God in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. It tells us they're without Christ. They're without God. They're lost in this world. There was Jacob. He was all alone. But dear friends, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you tonight, are you like Jacob? Do you feel your sin within your heart? Do you know you're not right with God? Are you really an honest man or an honest woman tonight and saying, Noel, I'm dwelling in darkness. I know it in my heart. I know I have sinned against God. I know I'm lost. I want you to behold the ladder. I want you tonight to see nobody else in this meeting, not even me, but to see Christ by faith. To see the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends. He is the Savior. He is the one you need. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so the interpretation of this ladder is a picture of Christ, a symbol of Christ that reaches from heaven to earth to heaven. Can I say secondly about this ladder that Jacob saw? The destination of the ladder. You can see here that the ladder reached to heaven in chapter 38. And in verse 12, it tells us very plainly about this ladder that it reached unto heaven. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. In fact, you see, verse 13, God was the top of this ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, he had a message for Jacob. But we can see here very clearly that this ladder reached. It reached from heaven onto the earth. And I want you to notice this. It didn't stop halfway. No, it reached from the earth right to heaven. It didn't go up three quarters of the way. No, when Jacob looked at this ladder, he saw it. It came right down to where he was. And he saw the top of it. For the Bible says he saw the top of it. And where was it? Dear friends, it was in heaven. It's in heaven. We're beginning to see clearly the ladder is Jesus Christ. He is the one, according to the Bible, that spans this mighty gulf between man and God. Only Christ. I have quoted that verse, but I quote it again to you. Remember, Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As if he's saying to Jacob, listen, there's no way up. There's no way to heaven. There's no other way to be saved. But this ladder. I want you to see that tonight. It's me. That's what Christ is saying to Jacob. Through a symbol. You think of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Christ, the Bible says. He's the only one who can bring us to God. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can bring us to heaven. And he brings us all the way. I
tell you tonight,
the Lord Jesus doesn't just half save a man. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't take us up half the way and say, well, make the rest of the journey yourself. And I want to say to you tonight, salvation is not a step ladder. You just get up a couple of steps and you've lifted yourself up a wee bit and you maybe changed a few habits in your life. That's not salvation. I want to tell you tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. He takes you all the way. He takes you all the way, friends. He spanned the gulf between God and man at the cross of Calvary. And he set up a ladder upon this earth. He shed his precious blood. He's a ladder. He's the way. And dear friends, he's the one who can take us to heaven. This is the destination of this ladder, from earth to heaven. And that's what Christ does. And you can see here that there was only one ladder. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Notice those words. He says, behold, a ladder. There's only one ladder to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. I came across a quote by a bishop, a Roman Catholic bishop, of course, and he spoke about seeing two ladders. Two ladders were hanging out from heaven. And he said the top of one was the Lord Jesus Christ, and the top of the other one was Mary. And he told about how someone was climbing up a ladder where Christ was at the top of it, and he looked up and he saw his angry face, and he ran back down the ladder. And then he went up the other ladder. And he climbed up to Mary. And Mary brought him in to heaven. I want to tell you tonight, that's lies. That's lies, friends. There's only one way to heaven. It's not Mary or anybody else. It's Jesus Christ. There's only one ladder. One Savior. That can bring us to God. I want you to see it. This is the teaching of the Bible. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 it says, for there's one God. Listen, and one mediator between God and men. Who is that? It says the man, Christ Jesus. But notice the words. God is telling us plainly that there's only one. There's only one can link us to God. There's only one can bring us to God. All other ladders do not lead to heaven. All other ladders lead to hell. Jacob saw a ladder, friends. One, Christ, can take him to heaven. And that's the teaching of the Bible. Of course, people today, they erect their own ladders. You can think of a cloth ladder. What I mean by that, they dress themselves in their self-righteousness, which according to the Bible, is filthy rags. In Isaiah 64, verse 6. There are people who say, well, I'll have a silver ladder. I'll give some money to the church. And so they're trying to build a ladder of silver. But friends, it doesn't work. There's some people will erect a paper ladder. In other words, it may be a hymn book or a church certificate. Or their name's on a church roll. And they say, well, there's my ladder. I want to tell you here tonight, friends, from God's Word. And I warn everyone in this meeting, young and old alike tonight, there's only one ladder, one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. And if you miss Christ, you'll miss all. Jacob said, behold, a ladder, just one. I ask you tonight, what are you holding on to get to heaven? What's your ladder? There's a lot of us here tonight. We're holding on to Christ. He is our Savior. We have come to Him. We have repented from our sin. We have trusted Him. His blood by faith has washed away all our sins. And He's taken us up. Right up to heaven. He'll lose none of us. But I asked you tonight, what are you holding on? I used to know that I made my own wee ladder. My own works. There it is. Man, it looks well, does it? But friends, I want to tell you this. It doesn't reach to heaven. It's useless. We need one who can take me from earth to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. He's a Savior who bled and died
upon the cross. And this is the destination of this ladder. It takes to heaven. And I say again, Christ alone can save your soul and take you to heaven. The great commentary, Matthew Henry, said, we have no way of getting to heaven but by this ladder. If we climb up any other way, we are thieves and robbers. See, dear friends, you must come this way. You must come to Jesus Christ. Not your church, not your works. Not even our church or your church can take you to heaven. It's Christ and Christ alone. I want you to notice the transformation from the ladder, because we know by this man and his life, he was beforehand a very deceitful man, very selfish man, who did everything he could to get his own way. But we notice here him changing dramatically. We read the passage together. He saw this ladder, and the Bible tells us about him that he's rising up. And Jacob rose up early in the morning. He's rising up. He saw the ladder. He's on his feet, friends. He's got a new life. He's got a new life, you see, a new love within his heart. And he calls this place that used to be Luz, he calls it now Bethel, the house of God. His whole heart's been changed. Dramatically. You can read on down how he makes a vow to God. And what he's going to do, if you bring me back home again, this stone, and I give me bread to eat. And he tells the Lord, I'll give you a tenth. I'm going to tithe. This man has been changed. Something has happened to him. Do you know what's happened to him, friends? He's been saved. He's been saved. In verse 21, at the end of it, he says, then shall the Lord be my God. You'll be my God. You see, dear friends, he's come from the darkness of the night into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's a changed man. Gone is his deceit. Gone are his lies. Now he's trusting the Lord is my God. And I want to tell you here tonight from God's word, the Lord changes us. I meet people and say, no, I would get saved, but I couldn't live the life. I couldn't stop the swearing. I couldn't stop some particular sin. I want to tell you tonight, friends, when you lay hold upon this ladder, which is Christ, he'll change you. He'll change you dramatically. Number says, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Listen to these words. Behold, all things are become new. All things become new. Do you see Jacob? Do you see him before? He lay down. He's deceitful. He's a liar. But he rises up. He's a new man. There's life. There's love in his heart. He's a changed man. He's given things to God. He's going to live for God. Dear friends, that's what Christ does, you see. He make you a new person. He'll take away your sin. And he'll give you everlasting life. Remember Matthew 5 verse 15 about Legion. That man who was so wicked, he lived in the graveyard. People were afraid of him. They tried to chain him to cool him down. They couldn't tame him. But when he met Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus changed him. The only one who could help him. Because it says in Mark 5 and verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind they were afraid. When they came out, they saw this man who beforehand he troubled the whole neighborhood. But friends, he had come to Christ. He had been saved. He had been delivered. And the people come out and they saw him clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want to tell you the Lord Jesus makes a difference. He saves you completely. Lay hold upon the ladder by faith. Jesus Christ. Maybe you know this tonight. I'm sure it's not the first time you heard the gospel. Heard about your sin. Heard about your soul. Heard about the danger, friends, that's before you of hell, be punished forever. You need to come to Christ. You need to trust Him. The Lord Jesus is the Savior. No one else can do it for you. You can't do it yourself. A lot of people say DIY salvation. DIY religion. Just do it myself. Friends, you can't reach from earth to heaven. You can't do it. You'll fall short. All have sinned, listen, and come short. Come short of the glory of God. You need Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He can save you. He can change you. You know, we say that great hymn, or there's power in the blood of Christ. He can cleanse away all your sin and give you everlasting life. Can I say lastly and very quickly about the limitation of the ladder? You see here by the text there was a limit in the reach of this ladder. It reached from earth to heaven and no further. And I want you to notice this. It reached from heaven right to the earth. But friends, it didn't reach to the grave. It didn't reach down into the grave. 6 foot too short. And that's a very sober lesson. It reached to the top of the earth. But you see, 6 foot down when someone's dead and they're buried, it doesn't reach them. Do you know why that is? It's too late when you die. It's too late. The Bible says that quite one of men wants to die, but after this, the judgment doesn't reach anybody. So don't you think when I die, I'd get another chance? I'd get things put right with God. I'd be able to repent of my sin and come to Jesus Christ and receive Him into my heart and into my life. When I die, the ladder does not reach the grave. It just reaches the earth, friends. It doesn't reach hell either. And no doubt there are many people would love a ladder to reach them, to get them out. But know what the Bible says about hell in Luke 16, verse 26. And beside all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And the Bible's very clear. There's a great gulf fixed. The person who dies in their sins will be punished forever. Everlasting punishment. And the ladder doesn't reach him. There's a limitation. And dear friends, I say to you tonight, and I'm warning you tonight, you must reach Christ tonight. You must reach Him while you're in the day of grace and the day of opportunity. It's why we're living. It's why you have your health and strength. That's why you have your soundness of mind. You can hear the gospel. You can hear the call of Christ. He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He tells us to lay hold upon Him. Lay hold upon eternal life. Lay hold upon Christ by faith. I want to tell you, He'll save you. He'll take away your sins. And He'll bring you home to heaven. There's a limitation to this ladder. That's why we sing that hymn, life at best is very brief. It's like a falling of a sheep, it's like a binding of a sheaf, being time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, being time. And then the chorus says, being time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, being time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate. Your cry, but too late. Be in time. Now, Tommy, in closing, have you been in time? Can you honestly say to me tonight, Noel, I'm saved. The old account was settled long ago. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that Christ has saved me. Or will you honestly say, no, I'm lost. I'm not right with God. I know it. And if I die as I am, I will be lost for all eternity, which is a terrible thing. You need to repent and you need to come to Christ just the way you are. He'll accept you. I quote that verse and I preached over here one night. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll take away your sin, he'll save your soul, and he'll give you everlasting life. Would you not lay hold upon Christ today and start for heaven? Behold the ladder that reached from earth to heaven. I'm sure you want to go. I'm sure there's not a person in this meeting tonight would say, I don't want to go to heaven. Now, I'm sure that one would say, I want to be lost. How foolish. Well then, friends, you better start. You better lay hold upon Christ tonight. And if I can help you, if Mr. Baxter has said already, speak with us. I know there's tea. We can head out. Just come over and say, I'd like to talk to you about this. We would love to speak with you. But turn with all your heart to Christ. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. And He'll give you